Here's Andy Udman.
Cholesterol is your friend. It is not your enemy. Anybody who thinks that dietary cholesterol has joined the dark side has bought into what I would call the multi-trillion dollar lie. And I call it a multi-trillion dollar lie because it's costing us so much money every year in terms of the drugs that are being used to help bring down cholesterol in the body. It's by avoiding dietary cholesterol, unfortunately, is leading to all sorts of health problems, everything from mental disorders to chronic illness. And so it's really misled us dangerously in terms of our health.
Folks, you know that Pam Colleen makes a living out of rocking the boat, but she has never rocked the boat like she is about to do this morning. I would get your life jacket on right now, because on top of all the sacred cows that she has gunned down, oh boy, she's about to gun down one that is going to have people in this city rolling their eyes. In fact, Pam Colleen, I want to tell you that already this morning when Steve Garrison and I talked about this, a surgeon in London called and said, "What are you guys going to put on the radio this morning about cholesterol?"
Yeah, it's a very controversial subject, but more and more doctors are starting to see the light. And our guest this morning, Dr. Dwight Lundell, basically has been questioning a lot of the dietary advice that we've been getting now for many, many decades. And he says that we've been unknowingly subjected to a very dangerous dietary experiment.
And there's no such a thing as bad cholesterol.
Dietary cholesterol is our friend. It is not, it never joined the dark side. Unfortunately, it's been wrongly demonized, and because it's been wrongly demonized, it's led to all sorts of terrible choices in terms of our dietary choices.
The heart surgeon this morning said, do you want me to show Pam Colleen the stuff that clogs up your arteries?
But it's not being the material that he's talking about isn't there because of dietary cholesterol. It's there because of the excess consumption of plant-based foods, essentially.
Folks, do we have your attention? Bad cholesterol is good, and so is good cholesterol. Wow. And I love this about Pam Colleen. She always said, "Well, don't believe me. Look at the host of experts." And we have one on the line this morning. Dr. Lundell is about to rock London, Ontario. Dr. Lundell, good morning.
Good morning, London.
Good morning.
Is it fun rocking the boat every day when you talk to people? Because I'm sure that people like heart surgeons who are already listening here in London think you're from another planet.
Yes, indeed, that's the reaction oftentimes. It's like if I said the world was flat.
It's as if you said the world was flat. Now, right off the bat, somebody's going to say, he's just writing books, he just sat down and wrote a controversial book. Could you tell us a little bit about your life before you wrote this book called The Great Cholesterol Lie?
I'll be delighted, Dice. I was lucky enough to be in the very first class of the University of Arizona Medical School, trained in general surgery at the University of Arizona, and then was fascinated by a brand new operation that came along called a coronary bypass, in which we could take people with very severe coronary disease who were disabled or getting ready to die, detour around the blockages in their arteries and bring them back to productivity and happiness and back with their families. And so this grabbed my heart, if you will, no pun intended. I went off to Yale University and trained to be a heart surgeon and returned to my beloved Arizona. And for 25 years, I did heart bypass surgeries and valve surgeries, lung surgeries, and I did over 5,000 of the coronary bypass operations in that time.
So anyone who's questioning your credentials, you've been there. Give us those numbers again. How many years and how many bypass surgeries?
25 years and 5,000 bypass surgeries.
And you remember each and every one of them, right? Wow. 5,000. And can you confirm those arteries were clogged?
Yes, I can.
Okay, now the question is, clogged with what and why? What were they clogged with?
Well, they were clogged with what's called plaque, which is a combination of cellular debris, calcium, and indeed cholesterol.
And how is this cholesterol, though, getting so sticky and dense that it's getting stuck in the arteries?
Well, it's the interesting idea. I've joked that I was basically a plumber. I was doing what the plumber does, and that's cleaning out pipes or detouring around pipes that are blocked. And so our model really was the plumbing model. Indeed, it still is. I mean, we have angioplasty, which is just a different kind of plumbing, which has replaced coronary bypass to a large extent, but it's still a plumbing model. We never paid attention to the question you ask, why was it getting there?
All we had was a way
to solve the problem.
And that's where you part with other doctors. I just wanted to establish, in case these doctors think who are listening this morning, think you are from another planet. No, you're from the University of Arizona, went on to Yale, 25 years of heart surgery, and yes, the arteries do get clogged. It's with what and why when did you have this epiphany, doctor? Let me share a quote with our audience from your book, The Great Cholesterol Lie. I'd be in the midst of surgery, looking down at a patient, thinking, this man should not be lying on my table. He doesn't have the typical risk factors for heart disease. His cholesterol is in check, doesn't drink or smoke, and he is not obese. Yet he had the same condition I saw in each and every surgical patient. What was that condition?
That condition was inflammation.
And what is causing the inflammation? That's the baseline issue here.
Yes, it is. Now, let's go back to inflammation and what is it, basically. We'll start there. And really, inflammation is our body's response to an injury. Be it cut yourself, that's an injury, or scratch yourself, and you can see the response to injury. And the typical findings are redness, swelling, warmth, and pain. And that's acute inflammation. And it can be in a response to a physical injury, it can be a response to a bacteria, a virus, even chemicals for that matter. And we always, our bodies respond to a challenge or an attack with inflammation.
And what are the variables, though, that are leading up to this inflammation? I know that you you implicate a lot in the area of our excessive amount of carbohydrate consumption in our diets today.
Yes, it's interesting. The body basically tries to control everything in a very narrow range. Now just think about controlling oxygen. And I'll have your listeners out there hold their breath for a few minutes and see how powerful the desire is to control oxygen in a very narrow range. And temperature. We do a wonderful job, even in hot Arizona and cool Ontario. Our body temperature is the same in both locations in spite of a huge environmental difference. We try to control the potassium and sodium and calcium and magnesium and everything else in our blood in a very narrow range. And we do so to facilitate the complex bioelectrical chemical reactions that constitute what life is. If I go to Ontario in the wintertime and stay outside with no clothes on, I probably will overwhelm my body's ability to control that temperature at 37 degrees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have some consequences from that. I'll probably die,
mm-hmm.
or pieces of me will freeze and fall off.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that although our body tries to control everything in a very, very narrow range, we can overwhelm its ability to do so by changing our environment.
Okay, so we agree. Because these surgeons, if they're listening, they may wonder whether they should be going to work today. We agree that for whatever reasons, our arteries can get clogged. And if we don't do something about it, we will and can die from heart disease. Heart disease is the leading killer out there. And that bypass surgery does work. Do we agree on those basics?
Oh, absolutely. At the end stage of heart disease, coronary bypass surgery absolutely does work. At the end stage of coronary disease, angioplasty absolutely does work.
So, where we part is, what is that stuff in our arteries, and why is it there? We'll tackle those two questions when we come back with Dr. Lundell in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
We need to hear the truth, and there are many truth seekers out there right now, and Dr. Lundell is one of them. He's in a long list now of doctors coming forward saying that the cholesterol issue is, the way we've been scared off of cholesterol has been dangerous misinformation, and that we need to embrace and return to eating traditional foods, which include the animal fats.
Folks, I am looking at a quote. Imagine going up to someone in the White Oaks Mall who is helping themselves to a number of products which you would describe as low fat, and saying to them, did you read what I read in a book recently? The low-fat diet is the worst dietary advice in the last 50 years. Let me repeat that. The low-fat diet is the worst dietary advice in the last 50 years. Dr. Dwight Lundell, that is your quote. What reaction does that quote get?
from almost all people, they think I'm crazy because it's been so ingrained. It's been so supported by so many of our dietary authorities. Our food pyramid or my plate or our everything else, all the advertising about low-fat food products reinforces the idea. You go to your physician and he says, oh my goodness, your cholesterol's up. You have to go on a low-fat diet. The Diabetic Association insists on a low-fat diet.
Are you saying that my doctor in Westmount, Pam's doctor, it wouldn't be Pam's doctor, she wouldn't go to him. That doctors all over London, Ontario, doctors across Ontario, across Canada, across North America are telling us garbage about cholesterol.
They are indeed.
Yes. We have never in the history of mankind followed a low-fat diet. This is a very new experiment that we're being subjected to.
This is so revolutionary, it just blows the lid off of just about everything that people believe about what they eat. What are you saying, Dr. Lundell, about cholesterol?
Well, I'm saying that cholesterol has nothing to do with heart disease.
There's the real quote. Cholesterol has nothing to do with heart disease. Can you explain that?
Well, I will. In fact, it contradicts an earlier statement that I said cholesterol is in the wall of the artery. So to say it has nothing to do is not quite correct. To say it has nothing to do with the origin of it is indeed correct. The idea that high cholesterol is associated with heart disease has been around for a while and indeed is true. But we must remind people always that association does not mean causation. If you drive by an automobile accident, you see lots of police cars there. Does that mean that police cars have caused the accident?
What a great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying
that's the logic that we've used with cholesterol.
Okay, so we drive by a car crash, we see police cars, the logic would be the police cars caused the cruiser. You're saying you're a heart surgeon, have been for 25 years, have done 5,000 bypass surgeries, and for many of those years, you and other doctors assumed that because the arteries were clogged with cholesterol, that was the reason for the heart disease.
Yes, that was a conclusion, and it's illogical and uninformed and unfounded in any scientific basis.
And isn't it true that people with high cholesterol live longer than people with low cholesterol?
Yes, it probably is, but that's mm-hmm. dependent upon many other things.
Mm-hmm. But what is a good marker for heart disease? I've heard you talk about the test for CRP, C-reactive protein.
C-reactive protein is a marker because it reflects inflammation. And we talked about sugar a little bit, and we talked about environmental extremes. Well, what happened when we started on the low-fat diet is we doubled and tripled and quadrupled the amount of simple carbohydrates we begin to take in. And we've overwhelmed our body's ability to control the level of sugar in our blood. The United States has 25 million diabetics. It has 75 million pre-diabetics. And Canada's very close to the same. And diabetes means inability to control blood sugar. Because of the low-fat diet, because of the focus on reducing fat, we've overwhelmed our body with simple carbohydrates. And I'll make the connection here. The simple carbohydrates turned into sugar in our blood injure the lining of our blood vessels. Injury causes inflammation. Inflammation causes cholesterol to come to try to repair the wound. And then once we inflame it again 4 hours later with another bagel, another low-fat bagel, mind you, the cycle repeats itself.
So the evil,
that's why we get the buildup. Mm-hmm.
So the evil monster here is not the hamburger. It is not the red meat. It's not the pork chop. It is the bagel. It is the sugar. It is the staple diet you take when you go to Tim Hortons.
That is correct. It is this simple carbohydrates. It's turned into sugar in your bloodstream almost instantly. And since those lining cells of the blood vessels is called endothelium, they have no defense. Other cells require an insulin receptor and require insulin to cause the sugar to go inside the cell where it's either used for energy or stored as fat.
Dr. Lundell, we do have to take a short break for a news update. I want to just punctuate what you just said about diet. What is the one food, if we want to avoid heart disease, that we should put aside, and the one food that we should gravitate toward, contrary to everything we've been taught so far?
Sugar.
Sugar is what we need.
Less sugar, more fat.
Good. Yeah, that's the way to put it.
More fat, less sugar. Wow. Talk about a revolution. Do you think if that surgeon here in London is still listening this morning, Dr. Lundell, that he is having an epiphany, or does he think you have lost your marbles?
I suppose the majority would say the latter. There are a few who are beginning to wonder whether what they've been taught all these years is correct or not.
Dr. Lundell,
myself.
Very noble of you, by the way, to say that you're the medical equivalent of a plumber. Plumbers, we understand. I hope you wear your pants up higher than most of the plumbers we know, but we'll get into more of this in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. So if cholesterol isn't giving millions heart attacks, what is?
It is going to be the excessive consumption of plant-based foods, or what you might call carbohydrates. That would be too many fruits, too many vegetables, too much grain, and also eating all of these edible oils, these plant-based oils.
Pam Colleen and Andy Udman in conversation with an author who is shocking a lot of people with his book, which suggests, the suggestion's pretty obvious. The book is called The Great Cholesterol Lie, Why Inflammation Kills, and the real cure for heart disease. Dr. Lundell, let me share a story about a doctor who I understand you know. There's a fellow in London who was at Chapters recently, and a book fell off the shelf in front of him. So he just politely bent down to pick up the book, and the book was Wheat Belly. This is a guy who works out religiously, has for 20 years. He's buff, but he can't get rid of that thing around his belly. And in this book, of course, it says, lay off the carbs. 3 weeks later, he's lost 30 pounds. He can't believe what he's been told and what a lie it's been about his diet. And you're in the same category. Your comment on the book Wheat Belly.
Well, I loved the book Wheat Belly. I have corresponded with Dr. Davis in the past about some other things. He was a bit of a pioneer in that he was, before he discovered the problems with wheat, he understood that we needed more omega-3 from fish oil, and understood that we needed more vitamin D, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, which we don't get if we go on a low-fat diet. At any rate, he had been treating his patients, he's a cardiologist, by the way, he'd been treating his patients with relatively high doses of fish oil and vitamin D. But I think he came to the same realization that I did. Duh, why don't I, I'm doing the same thing as everybody else, I'm just treating inflammation. Why don't I go one step further, understand what's causing it? And that's when he came to the idea that wheat, which into your body ends up just like sugar instantly, was the real problem and the cause.
So you're not the only doctor out there basically screaming from the rooftops and saying that this low-fat diet, this high-carbohydrate diet, is essentially killing us.
No, there's a few of us. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, another doctor that I know you know is Dr. Duane Gravelin, and he wrote the book Lipitor, Thief of Memory, and he's got a compelling story about what happened to him when he started taking the remedy for quote-unquote high cholesterol, and that was, in his case, the Lipitor, and he had terrible side effects from that drug. You're probably familiar with his story. Maybe you could share some of that with the audience?
Yes, Dr. Gravelin was a medical doctor working for the Air Force and taking care of some of the astronauts, and he was went in, and you know, he had been taught like I that cholesterol should be controlled with statin medication. So when his cholesterol was up, he was put on medications, and he had these episodes of what he called global amnesia. He couldn't remember. He would walk into a room, couldn't remember why he was there, and these episodes would go on for parts of days, and then he began to research and found out that he was not the only one with this problem, that many, many people did. And indeed, over the last 10 years, the pressure has finally built up enough now that the United States FDA has indeed put a warning on statin drugs recently, saying that they will possibly cause mental problems.
Doctor, let me just try to, I'm trying to wrap my mind around the implications of what you're saying. The Health Minister of Ontario, Deb Matthews, lives right here in London. If she were to have an epiphany and say, you know what, Dr. Lundell is right. If the Health Minister for Canada and the government of the United States were to say, Dr. Lundell is right, what would be the implications? Oh, my blood pressure is going up thinking of the implications of that epiphany.
Well, we would have an epidemic of good health, number one.
Well said, an epidemic of good health. I'm thinking, for example, Big Pharma. They'd come to get you, Dr. Lundell.
The value of the companies that make the cholesterol drugs, the testing companies, indeed the income for going to your doctor once a month to get it checked. There would be huge economic consequences.
You're saying we don't need the statin drugs, we just need to change our diet.
Correct. The statin drugs are, they're in fact dangerous. 1 in 200 people taking the statin drugs will develop diabetes. And with the millions and millions of people taking statin drugs, I made the argument the other day that statin drugs are a public health hazard.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Statin drugs.
Lots of people who would agree with that.
Public health hazard. Let's talk dollar bills. Pam, you mentioned about dollar bills this morning, the trillion-dollar lie.
It's a trillion-dollar lie. Let's just look at the domino effect that's happening because of this cholesterol lie. It's not just the fact that people are developing inflammation and developing all sorts of chronic illness, everything from heart disease to diabetes, obesity, all these problems that are happening simply because we're not eating enough animal fat in our diet and we're eating too many carbohydrates. It's costing us billions of dollars in our health care system here in Ontario, as you know, Andy, is imploding.
Let's just look at what Pam just said. If we don't change some of our basic paradigms about health, where are we going, not only health-wise, but financially? Both in Canada and the United States, our health care budgets are exploding at a very time when we're having a major crisis, an explosion of diabetes, of heart disease, of cancer, and on it goes.
You know, the sad thing is it could be solved so easily. And yes, the economic burden on society to care for, I mean, heart disease is big enough. And it's $100 billion for cholesterol testing and doctor's visits, $30 billion for statins. And you stop and look at what it takes to care for a diabetic person. It's going to overwhelm and shut down, basically, our healthcare systems.
So what America needs is not Obamacare, but Dr. Lundell care.
Correct.
I get frustrated watching Dr. Oz because what he's saying is recommending is a diet that's diametrically opposed to an ancestral diet. He had Gary Taubes on his show, and Gary tried to set him straight. But even a year later, after Gary was on the show, Dr. Oz is still spouting this myth that we should be on a low-fat diet.
Yeah, I've met him as well years ago when we were both early on in the beating heart surgery world, but he's just so wrong, and he, unfortunately, has an audience that listens to him. But I think slowly, because he continues to promote bad things there, that he's going to continue to lose credibility.
Doctor, let's move away from all those other names and all those other books. I want to give our audience a takeaway from this conversation. What causes heart disease? And then we'll look at what we can do when it comes for going for lunch today, how we can change our eating habits. What do we think causes heart disease, and what's the truth?
Okay, we think it's animal fat. The truth is, it's simple carbohydrates. I was just looking this morning. The average person in Great Britain consumes annually 38 kilograms of sugar and 74 kilograms of flour. That's 0.7 kilograms per day of sugar and flour, which converts into glucose in the blood, which causes inflammation, which causes heart disease. And if we don't change that around, we're dead.
Yeah, and but since we've been told to avoid animal fats, we have been reducing our consumption of animal fat. We have been reducing our consumption of butter, of lard, of meat, all these foods in the last 50 years, and we're sicker for it. Can't they connect the dots here?
Apparently not. I mean, I've screamed and yelled, and that's one of the things I've written. It's not working.
Yeah.
Does that... You know, we're such a sophisticated, intelligent society, and yet some of these basics, Dr. Lundell, when we hear you, I mean, if what you're saying, we have had an outrageous lie told to us by Big Pharma, our local health units, by our friendly local physician who we love and treasure. They're all involved in this scam. Do they have an inkling that they've been telling us a big lie?
You know, I've talked to some doctors privately who do. They don't understand it like your listeners would if they read my book, but they're beginning to. The problem with your local doctor is that he's telling you what he's been taught, and if he deviates from that, he will get in serious trouble with the local health authority and his colleagues and all the rest. So, in a way, your physician is trapped by this lie.
Okay, let's look at what people are going to have for lunch today. Let's put make a yes list, and let's make a no list. Let's go with the no list. What do we lay off of?
We lay off of the two slices of bread that come before lunch. We lay off for the pasta that the pasta salad. It's a salad. It's got to be good, right? But it's pasta, and once again, that's turns into pure sugar in our blood, so we should lay off all the carbohydrates. We should have...
Let's just expand that list, because people here...
Let's include juice on that list as well, because juice is a highly refined carbohydrate.
Absolutely.
What else?
Soda pop.
Mm-hmm. Soda?
The soda that comes with it. So, basically, any carbohydrate.
I like to compartmentalize that and just call it plant-based foods. It's just simple for me.
Right, but yeah. A lot of people, you know, they don't speak in terms of low carbs. They speak in terms of bread and pasta and juice and soda. Can we make that a half dozen things they can avoid?
Yes, and I, you know, we might get in a fight. You talk about plant-based foods. I would say grain-based.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
I'm oversimplifying it.
If I take my broccoli and I soak it in butter,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be full. I'm going to get some minerals and some vitamins. I'll say green-based mm-hmm. would be a more acceptable term to me.
Okay, now let's move to the yes list. What should we eat that maybe we've been told we shouldn't?
Well, first of all, we've been told we need to eat all the time, and we don't. We don't really need three meals a day or six meals a day. We just don't. Our bodies would control our blood sugar and everything else just fine. But we should have animal fats, butter, lard, the fats on the steak, fats on the chicken, all of those kind of things. We need a bit of protein.
Let's start early in the day. Please say bacon and eggs.
Woohoo! Just had some.
Bacon and eggs are good. Bacon and eggs do not give you heart disease. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Lundell?
That, That is absolutely correct.
And what about, again, like things like sausage, high-fat cheese, all of these other foods? They could even be snacks, couldn't they, throughout the day?
Oh, yes, they could. Good high-quality cheese and any other nuts are a good source of fat, as long as we don't eat too many and load up on the calories, but they're a great source of good natural fat.
Doctor, we have one segment left, and we're going to have to be quick about it. We do have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to come back to that absolutely astounding statement you made, that if we were to believe everything you said and adapted our habits accordingly, we would have a sudden epidemic of good health. And that's what I want to leave with our audience. We'll be back with that in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. I cannot exaggerate how important it is that our listeners this morning understand what it is that Dr. Lundell is telling us and how they need to apply it to their lives, Pam, because we are talking life or death, really.
That's right. I mean, I used to believe that cholesterol and animal fat had joined the dark side. I was terrified to eat things like eggs and butter and meat. And I got sicker and sicker and sicker for it. And then when I had my epiphany, I realized how simple the answers really, really are. They're not complicated. What's complicated is all the misinformation that we're getting.
In 2 minutes, Dr. Lundell, we're just getting an email from a listener who says he's willing to throw away his cholesterol pills today. What should he do now? I don't want to give anybody dangerous advice. What would you say to that particular listener?
Listen to Pam's advice about your diet and you'll be fine.
Well,
cholesterol, the body tries to control it. If you eat more, it makes less. If you eat less, it makes more.
Okay, let us summarize the whole hour because we have a lot of people who join us during the hour. Dr. Dwight Lundell, you have written a book called...
It's The Great Cholesterol Lie. And the website is thecholesterollie.com, correct?
Oh, yeah, greatcholesterollie.com.
What is the lie? In 1 minute, what is the great cholesterol lie?
The lie is that treating cholesterol will cure heart disease or prevent heart disease. And that is a bald-faced lie.
Mm. What is the truth?
The truth is that if we'll control our consumption of carbohydrates, which come, as Pam says, all from plants, we will be healthy.
And if we adopted the advice in your book, The Great Cholesterol Lie, the first impact would be?
You would lose weight, feel better, have more energy, be able to make it through the day without the 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Crashes, begin to feel better all over.
And if we adopted it as a society in Canada and the United States, what would the impact be?
Oh, the impact would be, as I said, an epidemic of good health, all the way from mental health to physical health to joint health. Everything would be better.
Let's look in the seconds that we have left. What is the state of health right now in the United States?
We're sick. We're really sick. If you look at the numbers we talked about, the number of people with heart disease, the number of people with diabetes, the number of people with prediabetes, the number of people with mental problems, I mean, the majority of the adult population is sick. The majority of the adult population takes a prescription medicine. For heaven's sakes, get a clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the more drugs that are on the market, the sicker we become, it seems. I mean, if these drugs were really working, we should be pretty healthy, theoretically.
Okay. Very important that we wrap this up by pointing people to where they can go, Dr. Lundell, to find out more about your theory.
GreatCholesterolLie.com.
GreatCholesterolLie.com,
yes. Wow. And it's Dr. Dwight Lundell, L-U-N-D-E-L-L.
Well, Dell, like the computer, Dell. Well, Dr. Lundell, I just trust that our listeners have, number one, understood what you said, number two, understood it, how important it is to our good health, and to the surgeons over at London Health Sciences Center, keep doing those operations, but get it straight what's causing all that buildup in their arteries. Dr. Lundell, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you all.
Thank you.
It's been a jaw-dropping, eye-opening interview, Pam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to be teaching about the importance of animal fat this weekend at the Central Library. I have a full-day workshop, and it's called How to Fix a Broken Brain, and I have a section in there about how important dietary cholesterol is for your mental health.
We don't need an adjustment in our healthcare and nutritional habits. We need a revolution.
Oh, we need an absolute revolution. Wow. Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pam Killeen, always controversial, and what a guest today. Wow. 11 o'clock news coming up next.